You're tuned to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX. Before retiring, San Luis Obispo resident Alex Carlin was a judge for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. The NRC is the federal regulatory body for commercial nuclear power plants. Carlin now sits on the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel, and he tells KCBX News in an interview we'll be broadcasting in two parts, some are calling for an independent panel overseeing the decommissioning process. Carlin also speaks about a number of issues surrounding the planned closure of Diablo Canyon, from spent fuel storage to what will happen to the pristine acreage around the facility owned by the now bankrupt PG&E. For more, here's KCBX's Greta Mart.
I'm here in the KCBX studio with, may I ask you to introduce yourself?
Yeah, good morning. I'm Alex Carlin. I live here in San Luis Obispo. My wife and I retired here about 3 years ago. I spent 45 years as an environmental lawyer, mostly with the federal government. I started at EPA in the 1970s and worked as an enforcement attorney for them. And then I went into private practice and worked in environmental law for the rest of my career. The last 12 years of my environmental law career, I was a judge with the United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission in Washington, D.C. And in that capacity, I served to decide cases. I presided over boards and litigation involving nuclear facilities in the United States, including, for example, the Yucca Mountain litigation. I handled part of that for about 5 years, and also Diablo Canyon. I was the chairman of the board of judges who considered the challenge to the relicensing of the Diablo Canyon from 2010 to 2015. And then in 2015, I retired.
Okay. And now, do you have any kind of role with Diablo Canyon?
Yes. In May of 2018, PG&E created the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel. And I was appointed one of the 11 members of that panel. And I am here today just speaking as an individual, not for the panel in any way, shape, or form. We have a good group of people working there, and I'm one of the members of the decommissioning engagement panel.
I asked you in today because you had recently written an op-ed to the San Luis Obispo Tribune, and that was published. I wanted to kind of give our listeners, if they missed that, kind of a flavor or just the gist of what you said in that op-ed. What prompted you to write it, and what did you say in it?
Sure. Well, as an individual member of the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel, I have seen it in operation. I've participated, and they are a good group of individuals. However, my op-ed expressed my concern that I think to serve this community, we need an independent decommissioning advisory panel, and that this would be much more helpful to us. There are a lot of decommissionings that are going on around the country. Nuclear power plants are closing. There's perhaps two dozen. And many of those have advisory panels. And the best ones, the ones that are adopted in progressive states like New York, Vermont, Massachusetts, New Jersey, have independent advisory panels that are appointed by governmental entities to serve the community. In contrast, the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel was appointed entirely by a group selected by PG&E. It's run by PG&E, and it serves as mission as being essentially a public relations platform for PG&E as a conduit for PG&E's concerns and information. And although we're doing some good work, I think we really need something independent and with more resources and more sustainable. And the reason I put forth in my article was that decommissioning is a marathon, not a sprint. It is going to take 20 to 60 years. And we need a panel of people who can sustain that sort of long-term effort. And I believe they need the resources and the backing of governmental entities, among others, in order to sustain the effort needed to see the task through to the end.
When you say governmental entities, who would that be? Would it be the Board of Supervisors? Would it be the state?
Well, I think it would probably be a combination of the state and the county, people appointed by perhaps Senator Monning, Assemblyman Cunningham, Board of Supervisors of San Luis Obispo, somebody appointed from the five cities, maybe the city of San Luis Obispo itself, various governmental entities, as well as regulatory entities like the California Coastal Commission and the State Lands Commission, would each perhaps appoint a member to participate on this panel so that the community can have a sort of robust representation with people who have resources either at their command by being able to go back to their respective agencies and investigate the information. Right now, we are pretty much just listening to what PG&E has to say, and we don't have the resources to really probe or test or challenge what we're hearing.
And you are not alone in this opinion. I'm looking at a legal filing that the county, Rita Neal, who is the county council of San Luis Obispo County, filed before the Public Utilities Commission in January. And in it, she says that while the county believes that the panel has served as a valuable resource to PG&E and the community, the actual structure, operations, and discussion topics of the engagement panel have been controlled by PG&E. As a result, the county is not confident that PG&E's future land use plan, for which PG&E provides no details in its testimony, will actually reflect community needs and interests. And she goes on to back that up. So this is the county saying we don't have faith in it, telling the Public Utilities Commission that they don't have much faith. So what's going to happen now? I mean, are people listening? Is this going to happen?
Well, I'm not sure, but this is very important. The county has taken, I think, a valuable and important position. I agree with them, essentially, which is that PG&E has, in December of 2018, asked the ratepayers of California to pay another $1.6 billion for the decommissioning of Diablo Canyon. As a small part of that, they are asking the ratepayers to pay the costs of maintaining the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel. I want to hasten to say that none of us get paid. We're volunteers, but there are support efforts that the company has to pay to support us. So it works out to be, I think, as far as I can discern, about $1.5 million every 3 years.
Wow.
And the question is whether ratepayers should pay for that or not, and whether the panel is being effective. And I think rather than doing that, the PUC, the Public Utilities Commission, should charter an independent panel, as I've described, in lieu of the engagement panel that we have. Now, that's not going to happen right away. This rate-making process will take another 12 months or so at least, and there are a lot of parties involved, and the county is happily involved in this as well. And at the end of the 12 months or so, perhaps early in 2020, there will be a decision by the Public Utilities Commission. And that's when I hope that they will comply with the county's request and try to issue or create a panel which has more resources underlying it and more ability to sustain the long-term effort.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to retired Nuclear Regulatory Commission Judge Alex Carlin speaking with KCBX News' Greta Mart. Carlin sits on the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel. Let's return to their conversation.
In about a year, hopefully, there will be a new independent panel created. In the meantime, the engagement panel will continue to operate and try to do what it can to help educate the community.
Right. For instance, I think is it a couple weeks, there's two workshops. Is that the panel, the engagement panel, that's putting on the workshops about spent fuel?
Exactly. Yes. That's going to be an important session. We're having two workshops in February that the public is invited to. They'll be all-day sessions where we're going to talk about how PG&E proposes to manage the spent nuclear fuel, highly radioactive waste, which is generated by the operation of the nuclear power plant. And so that'll be two workshops in February and then a public meeting in the Board of Supervisors meeting room in March. I believe that's March 13th. So we'll have a series of meetings on that topic.
Okay, yeah. And people are understandably very concerned about having all this nuclear waste stored right here on the coast with the threat of earthquakes and Fukushima in our memories. And now PG&E going bankrupt. I mean, it's really kind of concerning. I mean, what are your thoughts around the bankruptcy?
Well, I think there are I have three main points about the bankruptcy that we ought to be alert to. I mean, the first point is the decommissioning trust fund, which is now $3.2 billion, is safe. That money is not subject to the bankruptcy, and so that money is going to be there, and the money to decommission Diablo Canyon will be there. The second point is with regard to the lands. PG&E owns over 12,000 acres of land out there on the spectacular coast. I think it's like 14 miles of coastline. And it's a huge and wonderful asset to the community, but it's also up for grabs in the bankruptcy. At this point, it's a valuable asset that the company owns, and all of the creditors of the company are going to be looking for every asset they can to turn into money so that they can have their claims paid off. So it may very well be that we have a dream that those lands be preserved in their entirety for the public as a park or as a nature preserve. That dream just got a lot harder to realize because the bankruptcy put those lands up for grabs and they're going to go to the highest bidder. And this is a concern. Let us hope that the county, the state, and other NGOs are willing to bring forward the money to put it into a park rather than have parcels of it be sold off for other uses. And I guess the third point that the bankruptcy raises is it could change the closure date for Diablo Canyon. It could accelerate the closure date. I'm concerned. Now, that's probably not going to happen, but it could happen because the creditors are going to look with a very steely eyes at the assets and liabilities of the company, and Diablo Canyon is either an asset or a liability. I'm not sure which in terms of the net costs, but when it's all said and done in a couple of years, someone may decide that the most efficient thing to do is to close Diablo earlier to save money. And so the bankruptcy could affect the closure date for Diablo Canyon. The only part of the 12,000 acres that's regulated by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is about 770 acres right around the plant. So that's the area that is potentially radiologically contaminated. The rest of the 12,000 acres is highly unlikely there's any radioactivity at all. There's no reason why there should be. And so those lands are beautiful, clean pieces of property. They're used for farming and other things. And I don't think the radiological contamination is an issue at all for the vast majority of those lands. While Cherry Canyon is not contaminated radiologically. So it would be available for, let us hope, preservation. I know Kara Woodruff and others have worked very hard to achieve that goal, and I think it's great if we could do that. By the same token, there are developers out there, I suppose, I don't know any in person, who might want to take one or more of the parcels of land and have an opportunity to develop them. And, I just don't know how it's going to work out in the bankruptcy, but radiological contamination is not going to be a bar to the disposition of the vast majority of the lands out there.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Now, let's talk about, you mentioned that you were an environmental lawyer in the Yucca Mountain proceedings. That's directly connected to Diablo because the reason why the spent fuel has to stay there is because there's nowhere to put it. And Yucca Mountain, for people who aren't familiar with Yucca Mountain, what is it and what's going on with that and what's your position on it?
Well, Yucca Mountain is a facility out in the desert of Nevada, about 90 miles west of Las Vegas. I've been there several times, and it is a large 5-mile long hole in the ground, tunnel, where the federal government hoped and it was planning to dispose of all of the spent nuclear fuel and highly radioactive waste that comes from the or comes and came from the 100 or so nuclear power plants around this country. And that has been worked on for 20 plus years. And recently the Obama administration shut that effort down and decided that Yucca was not appropriate for the disposition of nuclear waste. More recently, the Trump administration has tried to generate funding to get Yucca Mountain restarted. And, you know, there was some bills in Congress, last Congress, that passed in the House, 390 to like 40 or something. It was co-sponsored by Salud Carbajal. It was supported by most of the Democratic representatives of the House to restart Yucca Mountain. Wow. It remains to be seen what will happen, but Yucca Mountain right now is dormant and is not proceeding forward. So there is a terrible problem. Where is this spent nuclear fuel going to go? And currently it's just sitting at all of these nuclear power plants around the country. And I think that's not the way we want to go.
That's Alex Carlin, retired Nuclear Regulatory Commission judge who now sits on the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel. Stay tuned to hear part two of our interview. KCBX's Greta Mart spoke with Carlin last week in the KCBX studio, and we'll air the second half of their conversation on March 4th. You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX.